This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, got a sign. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode of 228 of Fourth and John. I am Gale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Prime in the building. And unfortunately, we're talking about L in this episode. We're recapping a tough loss. It's the home opener. You never want to start the season with the L on your home opener, but we did.
Losers.
First and foremost, wanted to thank all the people that showed up for the tailgate. The pregame festivities were great. A lot of fans came out there and had a great time. We also had a great time. It's been a long time coming to just celebrate our Eagles. Shout out to Conshohocken Bakery.
Big time.
With the tomato pies are amazing. Bud Light coming through per usual, fueling the tailgate. Parks Casino came down. Sam Wilson and Dunphy shot a little segment down there, which was awesome. But overall, it was just it was a good vibe pregame. Now moving forward to, just the overall feeling. The Eagles have been going by this saying, the rent is due every day. Unfortunately, our Eagles were late on their second payment. Because Sirianni talks about the 17 rounds of football. And unfortunately, fortunately they won round one and they lost round two, basically with their offense on the ropes. Certain words that come to mind, self-inflicted wounds. You're talking about, personal fouls or, field goals blocked. You're talking about making key blocks, staying in bounds, just failing to execute. Sirianni talked about things that you do that require no talent. That really didn't happen in week two. There was some miscues throughout the day, but lack of execution. The play calling was a little bit suspect for me. We know this is early on in Sirianni's career as a coach. These things are going to happen. I felt like he got a little too cute. The heart and soul are another words that come to mind. You talk about guys like Brandon Graham. And Brandon Brooks, both going down with injuries. We're talking, these are key players on our Eagles, leaders in this locker room. So overall, I think that took the wind out of the sail, of this team a little bit. But, overall, I thought the crowd, was up and down. It was inconsistent due to the play that we saw. I was like looking at the crowd like, yo, and kudos to their offense for taking the wind out of this. They drove the ball and we barely got to see some of our offense in the second half. But how are you guys feeling overall? I know it's week two. We got an L. We're shooting 50% here for dubs.
For me, I'm not one that usually raises my voice, man. I woke up this morning. I had no voice. It's been gone. I found a little bit of it along the way today. dude, yesterday was, it was bittersweet because the tailgate was awesome. I just want to echo what Gail said. Everybody that came down, we really appreciate it. It was really, in my opinion, one of the better tailgates that we had ever thrown. It was just an overall good party, good weather, good food, good beer, good company. And then we went into the game and the Eagles just came out flat, man. There was no real juice that was pumping in that stadium after the first few. I mean, we had the field goal to start off, and then after that, everything just kind of dissipated. The 49ers ended up taking the lead on us, and it felt like the wind had just, like Gail said, been taken out of our sails. The panderer in chief, Nick Sirianni, going for it on fourth down on the goal line with the Philly special. Dude, like, is that just a pandering move? Like, is he doing that just for like yucks for us Philly fans? Like, that's cool and all. Like, I'm glad that that's in your playbook, but like, it was just the wrong time for it. And the fact that it failed just made me like that much more angry. And it wasn't all his fault. I saw an opportunity there where Greg Ward could have faked the ball towards the sideline of the end zone, and that maybe the man in coverage would have bit on that, and he had a lane to the end zone to run it in. I don't know. But ultimately, it was not a good game plan yesterday by Nick Sirianni. The defense, regardless of the scoreboard, I think the defense did pretty well. And regardless of what people have been saying, I mean, this wasn't Jalen Hurts' best game. But all the people that are out here overreacting with Jalen Hurts, I don't get that yet. I mean, you got to give the man some time. This is Hurts' season to show us what he has. And one game that was mediocre is not going to sway me off the Jalen Hurts train. I think we still have a long season ahead of us. I think this team still has a lot of potential. I think this is just a speed bump in the road. But the Eagles need to figure it out. And we can't just let them can't just not call them out for them not picking up the slack.
Yeah, man. Let me see. Where do I start? I mean, tailgate. Nailed it. Yo, shout out to Used To. I mean, we put a game plan together, the three of us. And we made yesterday, you know, happen. It was my son's first tailgate with us, my That's wife's awesome. First tailgate. Everything was definitely great on that aspect. It was good to see the amount of people that ended up showing up. The love that we were getting, everybody seemed like they had a great time, and that's, you know, that was the goal, was to, you know, put smiles on people's faces, and I think we achieved that to the fullest yesterday. We went into the game, we were hyped, we were taking that long drive, you know, to the side of the building to get in there, and everything went smooth, you know what I mean? They, no issues with the mask, yeah, they let me walk right in. I thought it was going to be, that was the sign, you know, like, it's going to be a great day. We get in there, you know, the adrenaline is running through us, and it started off good. I mean, it seemed like, you know, game plan was on point. Shout out to that defense, man. I'm so proud of my defense. The defense held it down. I know we were going up against another great defense, and a lot of people, including myself, you know, really thought this was going to be a defensive game, and it was. I think that was, you know, the whole outcome of it all. But yeah, I agree. Some of the play calling could have been done differently. And Nick Sirianni even admitted that today with his interview. I mean, he nailed it when he said, look, you know, if I had a chance to go ahead and do the plays over again, I would have picked a different play. Yeah, the Philly special, maybe it was, you know, just to go ahead and get the crowd hyped up and everything. I don't know. I mean, I was just as much a surprise as used to when it came out. But look, it's the second game of the season. I'm going to be one to go ahead and tell you, you know what I mean? Like, it was hard for me to accept the fact that Jalen Hurts was going to be our QB1 because, you know, I was a Carson mm-hmm. fan and this and that. And, it you know, it took time, and the time came. And then I came to realization that, hey, this is my QB1, so I'm all in. Now, these same people that try to convince me to be the QB1 are the ones that are going to go ahead and turn their backs on him after the second game. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, come on, let's not go that route. It, you know, the kid still has a lot to learn. Nick Sirianni's first year as a head coach has a lot to learn. And I really think the way they played yesterday is only but so much, you know, they could go ahead and learn from those mistakes. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and pick up on those mistakes that you made yesterday, and you go with that same game plan and with the corrections, Hey, look, I'm pretty confident going into Dallas on Monday night. I like the way they're spreading that ball around. Like I mentioned earlier, the defense, you know, definitely held it down. Fletcher Cox, the line, Singleton was all over the place. Secondary was doing their thing. Some stupid penalties. I mean, there was, you know, the one penalty that, you know, that killed the turnover, and that turnover was a big, you know, we thought we were going to go ahead and get that, and that was going to be the momentum shift, you know, for us to go ahead and maybe come and tie this game up. But it didn't go that way. I'm just like really disappointed. I think the one thing that really pissed me off yesterday, and you guys could probably agree with me, was the fact that when we turned to the side and we saw all these fans just leaving so early into the game, I'm like, wow, like I was just in ATL the week before clowning Atlanta fans for leaving, giving up on their team. And then I turned around and I'm looking at my own team, my own nation, like people. my own people walking out. And it was sad to see. It really was sad to see. And I mean, I don't know, man. It's unnecessary. Like, you know, it really is. So I mean, besides all that, yesterday was a great day.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, you know, us being, you know, close to the side, you could see actually how many fans were leaving the stadium. And I was like, I was like monitor. I actually filmed it. I caught all y'all in 4K, but just to get a vibe.
Well, I mean, like, you almost took the expressway down.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, you would think the game was really in our hands, and you know, I saw some people like knocking our defense, you know, like, you know, the lack of turnovers. It's like, they gave up like 23 points in the last two games. I mean, at the end of the day, your offense has to put some points on the board. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, you know, I just thought we had the opportunity to, if the play calling was really, it was really inconsistent all over the place. And I just felt like if you go back to that, you know, you get that big play by Quez Watkins. I've even seen people down in Quez Watkins today. I'm like, Brett had like, he had, you know, he had some great plays out there. Like, I seen comments all over the place, and I tried not to read into every single comment I saw on the timeline because they were all over the place. But, you know, that series where you were about to score a touchdown, you know, then you get like a PI, and then you're first, you know, it's first down and you're on the 1 yard line. We talk about this offensive line that we have, this unit, right? Mm-hmm. It's 1 yard. That's knuckle up time. It's your trench. It's trench warfare. This is where you come on. You can't get 1 yard. And I think
Jimmy G got 1 yard a few times.
I know. And then Kepski mentions, like, you know, did you ever think about doing a quarterback sneak 4 times in a row to get that? And that's, you got too cute. You really did get too cute. I mean, you know, you mentioned the Philly special, but there's also if you go back and watch South Dakota State, there's also a Dallas Goedert special version. They should have ran that one instead of this one. You can do like an inside screen to a tight end, throw them off or whatever. But I just overall, I think those kind of, you know, we're going to see these ups and downs in the play calling overall. But I just feel like, you know, you have to, I mean, Coach Sirianni has to rebound with the play calling. You guys agree next week?
What, Sirianni? Yeah, he absolutely needs to correct that game plan. I mean, I completely agree with what Jerome has to say right here. Banking off what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Hurts can squat like 600 pounds, man.
He's been squatting 600 since high school.
That's what I mean. You're telling me a guy with that sort of leg strength can't keep the legs moving behind an offensive line as strong as our own? Like, I think that if you would have tried, like you said, 4 quarterback sneaks just right off the bat instead of just trying to get cute, you would have ended up in the end zone. This game could have had a completely different outcome. But, you know, these are the types of things that a young coach ends up having to learn. And what was your guys' thoughts on – I felt like Devontae Smith had a lot of targets yesterday. I think he's a guy that should be heavily involved in this offense, but it almost, to me – felt like they were trying to force it to him. in situations where it really, maybe you should be looking elsewhere. Like, I think that Devontae Smith has potential to be the best playmaker in this offense, but let's not forget the fact that he's a rookie and we have other weapons in addition to him. What was your guys' thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I agree with you because there was one, like, I actually went back and started watching some video from yesterday's game. There was one play where that was the play that he threw at the Devontae and it looked like it touched, like maybe nicked his fingers. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit too far.
Is that the deep ball?
That was the deep one that he got over the two defenders. Yeah. But as I'm looking at that play, Dallas Goedert was open on the flat. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just – so, yes, I agree with you. Like, I felt like at some points they were forcing it to Devontae. And don't get me wrong. I mean, he had a great defender on him. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a test to him. And, you know, that's what football is all about. That's what you're in the NFL for. But, yeah, I mean, like, again, it just seemed like I don't want to go start, like, you know, the bad talking, like, oh, you got to see the field better and this and that. I mean, again, it's only the second game. You know, it's going to take time. He'll learn from his mistakes. But, yeah, it did seem like at times they were forcing it, Devontae.
Well, you know, we talk about the screens and how effective we were in week one. You look at that defense and they look like they were ready for the screens. Like, you know, prior to the game, me and Chris had like a keys to victory and you know, talking about the 49ers and just, you know, having Jalen Hurts being effective in the middle of the football field, you know, stepping up when he needs to make some throws. I felt like there's a thing where it's, you know, as Eagle fans, start monitoring the way that teams start playing Jalen Hurts and making him roll to his left. Because if you see when he rolls to his left, there was a play where he could have hit the guy in the flat, but I think he threw that one to Devontae maybe.
Yeah.
Where it just sailed, just like his accuracy rolling left, if that's going to be a thing. Because we all know how effective he is rolling to his right. And some of the plays, I mean, he did rush for 80 plus yards. That's not always a good thing.
He took the right opportunities, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying overall, like when you talk about, you know, I know Ruben Frank had a thing. He said, here was it? It was like, other than two passes to Quez Watkins, one was for 26 yards, one for 91. Jalen Hurts had 73 passing yards. Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Jalen Reagor, Kenny Gainwell, and Sanders combined for 77 yards.
Yuck.
So, you know, it's just like, you know, we got to figure out how to use all these weapons, right? So, mm-hmm.
And this is, I think, just a symptom of it being a young team in the early part of a season. We have a rookie head coach. We have a guy who was a rookie quarterback last year. A lot of our stars on this team, like Devontae Smith, they're all young guys. Dallas Goedert, he's still a young guy. So I think this is just the symptoms of a young team. I still have all the confidence in the world that this Eagles team can turn it around. I just think we need to get better decision-wise. I hate to pull a note out of Chip Kelly's book, but we need to execute. It's absolutely the truth. We need to execute.
So, I mean, I really think that after this game, it's all about going back to the drawing board and fixing these little mistakes that were made in this second game. And yeah, I really feel like once they go ahead and correct that, you know, I'm going to go ahead and back Brandon Graham on what he said earlier as he was entering Chickie and Peace earlier this evening. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, we could still shock the world. And I still think we're going to go ahead. Shit, they, I mean, come on. They shocked me. That defense shocked me yesterday. It really did, man. I mean, yeah. Like, I haven't felt this great about my defense in years, man. And they just gave life yesterday, the way they held their ground, man. And I'm really looking forward.
They kept life. They didn't give life. They kept us on a respirator as we slowly fizzled away.
Hey, listen, man. Us three being true fans, we stuck it out, man. We
weren't walking out early.
Hell no.
I mean, the one thing that you have to talk about is, like, you know, the heart and soul. I mean, like, you know, like I've been on football teams where one of my captains or another or a leader on my squad, I saw him get his jaw broken and he's spilling like chiclets out of his mouth and blood is pouring out. You see a guy get hurt and you just like, all right, I got to focus and do what I got to do. I just see my man's jaw half hanging out of his mouth. Okay, let's focus, play a football game. You know, Fletcher Cox talking about him playing with Brandon Graham and just what he means to him as a football, you know, player and off the field and being a locker room, locker mate right next to each other. He was visually emotional about this, you know, losing Brandon Graham. So you think about what that does to the core of the football team. Obviously, you know, you see, it's like when Mustafa goes down, you're like, oh, God damn, get up.
Dude, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's exactly what it is, though. I mean, like, Brandon Graham, over the past, like, even before the Super Bowl, he has grown into that role in the locker room where he is, like, he's the lifeblood. He's the pulse of that entire locker room. Everyone looks to him, knows he is one of the true leaders of this team. And to have him go down, and I feel somewhat responsible because I've been talking about the past couple weeks how I got to get a Brandon Graham jersey, I was going to pull the trigger just the other day, and the stores were cleaned out. All they had was number 2 Hurts jerseys. And
I think we could go like way many different directions on what happened to Brandon. We're gonna put it on you.
I appreciate that. it just stinks, man, because Brandon Graham, he's not only a really strong leader and a really great player on our team, but he's an Eagles legend, man. And to see him just writhing in pain and to see Fletcher's response to that, it's tough, man. He's one of the pillars of this team. And the other guys behind him, you know, Barnett, Kerrigan, Josh Sweat, everybody has to step it up, man. They really do. And not for nothing, but I somewhat feel like Kerrigan has been, I haven't seen anything of him yet. Have you seen any flashes of Kerrigan? This is a guy I was counting on to come in here and be beast mode.
I seen him come in there and get a couple pressures, but
get on the field or like do something on the field.
I saw yesterday him almost had a sack. It was pressure, you know what I mean? But I get what you're saying.
How do they write that in the how do they write that in the box score?
Shit.
talking about boxes in areas nice. That need to be covered. Wait a minute. Now, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20.
Now, we were down at the tailgate yesterday, and I was not asking anybody about their Manscaped situation because that is sexual harassment. But I hope everybody down there was a bunch of bald eagles, man, because if you're ready for an out-of-this-world experience, the Performance Package 4.0 is just taking off, not only in the U.S., but Canada, U.K., across Europe, and Australia as well. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Hair Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performer Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system steady.
Listen, don't forget to use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and their Crop Reviver to help your little planets be on their A game while feeling the sun's heat. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Abort Hairy Balls and a Buzz Lightyear that Woody with Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. For clean, Trinity, and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
These reads are the gift that keeps on giving. But if we're going to talk about the gift that keeps on giving, if we were going to give a gift for the game ball, see what I did there? Ball?
Yeah.
Who would you give the game ball to? We're going to talk some positive from yesterday.
Well, you see, I have, you know, my own beliefs being a former soccer player. You know that I tend to believe the specialists are people too. But I won't bore you with my fucking opinion. I'm going to have to give it. It would go to Aaron Sipos if it wasn't going to Quez Watkins, who just continues to, like, whenever he touches the ball, Quez Watkins has a chance to really make a play on him, man. I mean, I know that the whole wide receiver group, aside from him, had a rough day. But that 91-yard trot, it was a great play, man. It was a great play. I think he was really the only one of the only guys that showed up on this offense. So, yeah, I'll give it to Quez.
People getting riled up in the comments here. I'm gonna go Quez Watkins, a guy who's, again, continuously showed up, like a guy who shows up and makes plays from open practices to preseason to joint practices. It's all translated into into the game. Tim, yeah, shout out to the people in comps. Tim says Hargrave, guy who's he's doing his thing.
Todd's Prime, got another good one as well.
Am I allowed? I guess I gotta get permission from you two about this. I'm gonna go with the whole defense, man. I'm gonna give the game ball to the whole defense.
All right.
I think the defense did their thing. They held their ground. I mean, we didn't pull out the W, but they are really coming together and making things happen. And I think they're going to be a bigger threat going down the down the line during the season.
Now, Oscar the Grouch from YouTube says, "I need to see more Milton Williams."
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out to these. I'm reading some of the comments. I see that there's some Cowboy fans in here. We're gonna get into you guys real soon. All right, we're gonna go ahead and just finish touching upon yesterday's game, but. We're coming for you. Don't worry about it.
Your time's coming.
Hey, at least they're reminding you to keep your grenades trimmed. I think we got to give an honorary game ball to Brandon Graham just for his services. I was looking at the Kobe when Kobe tore his Achilles, mm-hmm. and he was just knew his Achilles was jacked up, and I'm like, ah, man, Brandon Graham just knew it. Just knew it. Houston 500 RE says Dickerson for coming in without any preseason. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel that.
I feel it.
Well, I mean, I feel
like if anyone on that O-line deserves the ball, if we're leaning towards the O-line, you're short of my lotta. That's just how I feel. I mean, it's good. I mean, I'll give Dickerson some orange slices for making it out there, but the game ball, I don't.
We'll give you the T. That's the T that holds the ball. You got it.
If there was one play from yesterday that had you like just boiling, what play would that be?
Boiling as in mad, I assume.
Yeah.
That would have to be when they called the personal foul on Kayvon Wallace in that fumble. That shit.
I was so confused. I was like, what is going on here?
I know.
Yeah, I think it took a while for us to even realize where that happened. And to be honest, I didn't really find out what happened until today when I was like, what? I still don't know what the hell happened.
I had the same thing when I was watching the game today and I saw the blocked field goal from where we were sitting. I don't know. Did I look left or something?
No, I think we blinked like instantly and it got blocked and I didn't even realize it got blocked.
And then somebody was like, oh, they ran a fake field goal.
Yeah.
I was like, why would they run the fake field goal? And then I watched the game like, oh, that's Kinlaw blocked that one. I was like, could I not see? Do I need glasses? I was like,
yeah, we were sitting up there with Jesus. Yeah, we were sitting up there with Jesus yesterday.
In the very corner.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys that, recognized the 4th and John crew when we were up there. I mean, they were surprised that we were up there with them, but
in our seats.
Yeah, like, listen, man, we work our way around that whole stadium. You know, I mean, you're gonna find us anywhere and everywhere. But it was great. I mean, we got to see the whole field, but yeah, I mean, it was just like for that one play, I think we all blinked like at the same time or something distracted us, and I didn't even realize it was a blocked field goal. I thought I went with they ran a fake field goal as well.
The funny thing is, like, people are like, what you guys doing up here? I'm like, I'm not a seat elitist here. I like, yo, if I'm in the stadium, I'm in the stadium. I don't care.
That's it. That's all. Where I'm at. Right?
Like, you know, right. I actually kind of like, you could see the whole field from up there. I just, you know, like I thought I was closer to God. And I was praying in the, obviously
the air was prayers, thin.
The prayers did not work. But you know, shout out to Jimmy. We'll just make sure he's good. Yeah. He had like a scared of heights moment, man. It's crazy. But he said he's doing good, man. Like, it was crazy. That was a crazy moment.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I'm glad he, you know, he's alright. He's doing good.
Dude, it was just like,
I think the play that pissed.
I really like the vibes that we had at that tailgate. The vibes that we had going into the stadium. I want to also throw a shout out to the DJ that we had. He was getting everybody pumped up going into the game. Lowski. He killed it yesterday at the tailgate, and you can see him again at future tailgates. But just the vibes that we had there, it was like, I really thought, I was like, man, there's no way we could lose this game. The energy this crowd is going to provide in its first game back post COVID. I just thought that it wasn't going to be a landslide, but just that the Eagles would not come out so stale. And compared to what we saw, it was tough, man. And I feel like I had the biggest fuck up of the day. Everyone's sitting there complaining about their cheesesteaks are taking forever. I'm like, God, it's on full blast. What do you want me to do? I got the grill on full blast. And then Chris takes over and tells me that I had it on the lowest setting the whole time. So.
Rookie
mistake.
Shout out new grill, bro. Yo, shout out and appreciate the fact that you even got behind the grill, because that was cool, man. I had the privilege of eating one of those cheesesteaks, and that thing was great, man. It hit the spot.
Appreciate it.
It hit the spot.
I was kind of surprised. Was I surprised? I just, you know, Evan's a guy with he's a jack of all trades.
Yeah, many talents.
Guy that can edit. He can speak fluently on the mic, and he can make cheesesteaks in a open field.
I touch upon, you know, what you were asking. I think the one play that really set me off was the Philly special, where, again, like Evan mentioned, we didn't pull it off, but there was another moment where I felt like Greg Ward could easily have ran it. And Evan, if you remember, I recorded
it. Talked about it like immediately after.
Yeah, we kept on rewinding. Yeah. I'm like, look at it. God damn it. Just run straight. You had it open there.
All it would have taken was a simple pump fake to the corner of the end zone. Yeah, the defender would have turned around, bid on it, and he would have been golden, man.
Yeah. Paul from Facebook says, mine is the Barnett stupid penalty, because the 49ers would have been third and long, and he does his penalty, which gave them a first down. Deshae says, Rager stepping out and his field awareness not helping out. His QB took points off. I mean, it's a moment where you're like excited for his ability to make plays in this situation. But you're talking about, you know, as you know, playing wide receiver. That's one thing my coaches always say, you know, you have to know where the boundaries are. So you either have to make sure your splits are in enough where you leave yourself enough room. And this goes back to the smallest details are the difference between winning and losing. And these are the kind of things that you have to like hammer home, but like, it was a great play. Mm-hmm. But again, even Sirianni talked about, you know, learning where you are, spatial awareness. Let's see. Anyone else?
The damn guy in the stadium that was running the damn video. I mean, you're supposed to be
the video
like,
that you got of me? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about the video of Rager stepping out.
Oh, yeah. He kept on playing.
I felt like we were dealing with ATL all over again on our end. Like, we were getting the guy being opposite of what we needed, and he's like, oh, focusing on the damn foot. Like, come on, man, stop showing this shit. Like,
yeah, no, I feel like that was more of just like, he knows that the fans are going to freak the hell out when this gets called back. So let me just show him, like, all right, maybe the refs aren't full of shit on this one.
And he started a
before
remix,
you guys
like,
rush the field.
I'm like, yo, this guy's starting to piss me off.
Adam from Facebook has his, not his, most hated play, but his most favorite play was Prime's video of Instagram story of Evan dying coming up the stairs.
Yeah,
and the stands was pretty damn funny.
If you want to find out if you're out of shape or not, just walk to the top of section 239 and I'll fucking tell you.
Hell, but I really laughed because I saw these two old couple, like an old I couple. Saw. You saw them? They walked up like champs. Like I had to get out of their way. Like. Okay.
Nah, I was using the whole railing the whole way up. I was like, damn, I need a third leg.
I remember walking up too, and I was just like, man, I was like, yo, I'm officially out of shape because this is, I don't know what's going on here. I did see a 300 plus pound man who was like, he was halfway up and he had a moment where he just had to turn around and he was like,
yeah, I was like, yeah, that dude's going past.
I was like, somebody watch this guy. Tim says his play was, how about the double zeros on the play clock for 2 seconds? And then they hiked to San Fran and got away with it. Is that a play that can be challenged for the refs being lackadaisical and off? I did see that. Like, again, everyone's like, is that clock timed up with the actual play clock? They said yeah.
I don't even think that is something that you'd be able to challenge, though, is it?
Yeah, I don't know neither, but I know there was, like, again, watching the videos from yesterday's game, that one play where Garoppolo ended up getting that 1 yard to seal the game. Mm-hmm. There was actually a false start.
Wow.
In that play that they missed. Yeah. Wow. It was an actual false start that they missed on that play. Yeah, I was like, wow, man. But hey, look, you know, I mean, no excuses. It is what it is.
Todd, is he saying he wants to see Teron Jackson over Derek Barnett right about now? Over? I want to say about over. I mean, to get the man some reps. You know, the other thing that we, you know, also need to mention is Zach Ertz is on the COVID list right now. So he must have been around someone with COVID. They didn't say he had COVID, correct?
Carson.
Sorry. Oh, and yeah, speaking of bullshit. Speaking of Evan's slight mention of Carson, Carson's dealing with another injury. So if we're you guys who are looking at the keeping tabs of you know. It is what it is. You have to keep tabs.
How does a man sprain both his ankles?
Yeah.
How the fuck's that even possible? This dude's made out of glass, dude.
I saw that and I was just like, I was like, geez.
How's he going to get around?
I was like, he's literally got the worst luck in terms of injury. Like, what part of the body have you not injured yet?
Yeah. Yeah, so Zach's on COVID, huh? Mm-hmm. That means he's got to be quarantined from Julie. That means Julie can't be around Zach for a while.
The wheels are spinning in Prime's head right now.
Julie!
Didn't you just get married?
Congratulations on your wedding, Lucky.
Oh man. Yeah. The chat is reminding you, my friend. The chat is reminding you well. I don't know, man. I just overall, like, you know, I feel like a good football team, it's all about consistency. And it's all about doing little things. You just want to make sure moving forward, especially going into Dallas week. Yes, we will be having a official Dallas Cowboy podcast only. We're, you know, we can't talk about both in one episode.
It's Dallas week that deserves its own episode, 100%.
Absolutely. And we already saw Prime's brother up in the comments. He's feeling himself. He's already pushing bets on us. He's like,
he's happy. Like, you know, of course, he's happy about their little win yesterday. Still think they look like shit, but you know, I mean, I still think Sirianni's the better coach out of the two, man. That's me being straight up. Like, yeah, I'm going to save it for the podcast. I'm gonna save it.
I think Maura actually forgot. Maybe Maura didn't see that episode.
Nah, she probably didn't. Yes, but Maura, that was a personal shout out. Yep.
Julie, Julie Ertz hooked it up.
Thanks to these two guys right here. They hooked it up, man.
She was a good sport. She was a good sport. Let's see. Tim says, you guys got to watch the Pat McAfee breakdown, how crazy believes Wentz is on the field. Pat's eyes are so big in disbelief.
What do you mean by crazy? Like crazy good? Crazy? Crazy? What do you mean by crazy?
How crazy he believes Wentz is on the field.
Maybe I have to watch McAfee. Check that out. Adam bringing up some positivity says, hey, Hurts hasn't turned the ball over yet, and he has rushed for 100 yards here. Mm-hmm. He's actually rushed for 100. I don't know how many yards has he rushed for.
Yeah, and he's, I believe,
still 144 yards, 17 rushing attempts, and a touchdown.
And I believe that he is the second-ranked quarterback in the NFL still through 2 weeks.
I really don't care about stats.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, Pat, when they're in the Eagles' favor, you fucking listen to them, okay?
What are we? What, you know, like when people just like, I'm already per PFF. Like per P, what, I don't care if they lost the game. I really don't – if you're going to give me some stat, like I really
– I'm trying to soften the blow over here.
No, I know. I understand you. I'm just like, I was reading something today and I saw per whatever. I'm like, I don't care who's ranked. We just lost.
Yeah.
Bro, at the end of the day, it's about getting. See, Deshae, he wants the W's. When Deshae's not banned from Facebook or having to use his girlfriend's account on another social media platform.
Damn, girl.
I remember everything. You know, Deshae, he wants W's just like I do. Like, you know, like, thankfully, Deshae's not banned on Facebook.
I had a moment too yesterday in the stadium where I'm not so sure if it was a depression or just a mixture of tiredness from just waking up as early as that. But I remember sitting after that game and like we were sitting in the seats and I just remember like I was just sitting, just staring at nothing, man. It's just depressing. When anytime you get that loss, you catch that L on a game that you were really, really expecting it to go the opposite way. I just remember I was just sitting blindly staring at all these people that were walking out of the stadium, just thinking like, what happened, man? What happened?
We were there with you. We were there with you when it was just like, you know, I think all three of us, we just went into like a, that moment, like, what the hell's going on? Is there anything, you know, we were that guy with the stick.
Yeah, do something. Yeah, like, exactly. Come on.
No, but yeah. I feel like we hit it was like the stadium had juice at the end of the game all of a sudden. And like, you know, the fans were hype. Like it got loud in there. And there's a moment where I was like, imagine if they come back right now and all those fans who just left.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know,
I already had it in my mind what I was going to scream over those railings at to them. Like, yep. I already had it in my mind.
So, I mean, would you call this fan policing?
Because like I don't think that I don't want to tell anybody how that they should do anything, man. But like, I'll sit here and judge you. I'm not going to tell you that you can't leave a game early. If you want to leave a game early, then leave. But I don't understand why
there are some people who actually do leave their seats and then watch it from the stand, from the big jumbotron outside. Mm-hmm. So then they can get in their cars and then beat the traffic. You know, but you're going to get, I feel like you're going to get judged anyway.
Yeah.
I think this might be in the fan policing category.
Yeah. I'm not a fan policeman, so I can't cuff anybody.
Hey, you, I know you got to go pee, but you can't go anywhere. I want you to piss your pants and watch this game.
What is
this? Ruining the juju.
Where the fuck are you going? Sit the fuck back down.
Mark Bird, he says the real ones watch till the game's over.
Always. Always.
Elena might be a little behind, but she says when the Philly special failed, I knew it was a wrap, but I would have stayed and got my money's worth.
Absolutely.
And she also
a frugal man like myself can understand getting your money's worth.
I mean, so moving forward,
that was a Russell Wilson, but anyways.
It was on cue.
It was.
But anyway. We have Cowboy fans in here. Fan policing says fan leaving games happen all at all the stadiums. You see it all the time. No sense judging it. If they want to waste their dime and let them.
I think he's just gearing up for this weekend or this month.
No, but
he's already having the excuse out there for Dallas Cowboys fans to walk out early when we're stomping all over that ass.
But anyways.
Oh, now.
Dan says, this could be a big learning experience for this young coaching staff. Rather it happened in the first half of the season. I mean, there's one thing that you just have to really just hone into, that we are only two games into the Sirianni era. You know, there's ebbs and flows of the season, and you got to see how they respond, right? So it's like, can you sit here overreact? Like, we just got a Jekyll and Hyde performance from this offense, right? The defense, I feel like the defense has been shown to be consistent and shown you who they are. We're going to get probably a better offensive unit with the Cowboys coming up. You're talking about
wide receivers.
Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, unfortunately my fantasy wide receiver, and Ezekiel Elliott, my fantasy running back, but I don't really care about fantasy anymore. I told you guys pregame. I'm saying, like, this is another level of where does this team go from here? Do they step it up? Do they pull from within? Do they pull from, like, this is adversity as it comes. You lose two leaders in the locker room offensively, offense and defense. Next man step up. That mentality, that's been a thing in Philly. Do you guys believe Landon Dickerson? I mean, the funny thing is, this is the reason why Landon Dickerson was drafted. And this is the reason why Milton Williams was drafted, to add to the and replenish, you know, in the trenches. Do you feel like those guys are going to be able to step up along with Derek Barnett and what's his name?
You pretty much answered your own question. I mean, this is the reason why they're in the NFL. This is the reason why we picked them. It's for that purpose. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to be one to tell you, like, you better step up. Like, here's your opportunity. You know, so go out there and show it. You haven't had no preseason, and we drafted you second round for a reason. A lot of people felt like we could have go ahead and gotten something better at that time. And then, look, now here's your time to go ahead and prove people wrong. You were the right reason for us to go ahead and draft you when we did.
So, and I honestly think that Landon Dickerson, especially, I think that he, being a guy that is from Alabama, you don't just get onto Alabama. You have to be the elite of the elite coming out of high school to make it on Nick Saban's team. And they have, over the years, they've had great offensive linemen that have come from that team. I think that just his skill set that he has, he totally has all the skills to be a great player in this league. And with his everybody that's in front of him, all of these guys that are a part of a really good offensive line already, giving him tips and pointers and practicing with him, I think he has potential to be great. It's just unfortunate because I already know that Brandon Brooks is great. I already know what I'm getting out of Brandon Brooks, and it's going to be a stellar performance anytime he's on the field. I am now just, you know, Dickerson, I have confidence that he'll do well, but I just haven't seen him play in an Eagles uniform like that. So as long as he steps up, I think that we can no doubt go without missing a beat.
Interesting. Deshae says, I'm not even worried about Melata, and I'm not even worried about being banned from Facebook. Tim had made mention, says, we draft to create future studs, and when their number is called up, it's time to work. Get in where you fit in. Now, I wholeheartedly believe that. Like, this is where you see what your team's made of. And if they're practicing what they're preaching, you know, you know, if they're connecting, if they're, you know, we'll see, man. It's funny because, like, I was actually going to make a post on Twitter, and I wrote it, and I was just like, And then I actually fell asleep in between the tweet because I was so damn tired. Like I was telling the guys, I'm like, yo, came home at 7 o'clock and then I woke up the next day at 8 a.m.
Damn.
So I
would have had love to do that.
I fell asleep with like, if you would have seen, I was like, I got issues.
Before the night game?
Yeah, I didn't even see that. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, that night game.
I ate and then I fell asleep. That's it. Damn. But I was writing a post about, like, you know, as much as the L, being bummed about the L, losing Brandon Graham, that was definitely, I was a stinger, man.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's like you said, lifeblood. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy that brings juice not only to the team but like even the beat writers. Like they see Brandon Graham, they feel alive. He's a, you know, he has that kind of presence.
And yeah, you can see Derek Gunn was hurting in his tweet, man. You know, and him and Derek Gunn got a great relationship.
Oh, what did Derek Gunn
say? He was just like, you know, it hurts him to announce that Brandon Graham's season is pretty much coming, you know, is at an end with the injury. So, you know, but like just the interaction him and Brandon Graham have with each other when they used to do the locker room interviews and stuff like that. I know, you know, it hurt to be, you know, one to go ahead and share that post.
Even you guys see Merrill Reese's tweet?
No, I didn't see that.
I would read it in his voice, but I don't really want to. I'm just too bummed right now. I can. Yeah. But he says, as disappointed as I am about yesterday's loss, I feel even worse about the season-ending injury to Brandon Graham. Nobody loves the game more and plays with greater passion. His leadership, both on and off the field, will be missed. But I saw in the comments, someone said that Brandon Graham will probably be talking shit from the sidelines.
And I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is, because you could see all the shit talking he was doing before he got hurt yesterday. I mean, he was yelling over to Garoppolo like, look, man, I'm coming for you. That's what I'm going to miss the most, you know, on that field. So, you know what I mean? It's definitely the next man up mentality that needs to be given to that, you know, that player that's going to go ahead and, you know, fill those shoes. And they got some serious shoes to fill.
So. I feel like Elena said that in a Florida Evans Good Times. damn, huge loss, says Elena. And then Evil Rubber Ducky won. BG injury will be hard for him to come back from with him being older. Wish him all the best. I know he talked about coming back next season. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, imagine that being the last play of his career. You know,
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but since you just brought it up, I think that's the part that honestly stings the most for me is the fact that like BG, he's older, man. He's getting up there in age. He's been on this team for a real long time. He's one of the most tenured guys on our team, and for him to get such a massive injury like an Achilles tear, that's a tough injury to come back from, man. For a guy in his 30s, like. That has as much miles on his body as he has at this point. I mean, there's no one that works harder than him. So I have confidence that he can come back, but whether he comes back and he's the same level, whether he's even able to come back, I don't know, man, it's tough. He's one of those guys that will always be an all-time Eagle. He's an Eagles legend till the day he dies. It just sucks to see him go down like that, man. He's one of those guys that deserves to play his last game and know that it's his last game and not have the decision made for him by God.
Well said.
I feel like we had to light a candle. I feel like everyone's getting emotional right now.
Dude, it fucking sucks, bro. I love
it. It does suck, man. I love BG. You know what I mean? It sucks, man. It sucks.
Tim says, yes, the injury is a tough one to fully come back, especially with the position he plays from. Big bursts of speed and explosion off the line. It's going to be tough to climb back, but Tim believes in him. You know, and it's just it's an unfortunate because, like, injuries do happen throughout the league. You're seeing guys go down. If you look, you know, our upcoming game against the Cowboys, DeMarcus Lawrence also got injured, broke his foot. I guess from the positives of the injuries that we had, Brandon Brooks, his season is not over.
Yeah. pectoral injury.
It's a pectoral strain. So it is what it is. Injuries will happen, and we'll see how they rebound. If it's one thing, priority on your both you guys' lists, mm-hmm. of the one thing that you need to see next week, what would that be?
I need to see better play calling out of Nick Sirianni. I don't need him being so inconsistent like he was yesterday. I want him to go in with a game plan and stick with it and not try and get cute, get the first downs, get in the end zone, take the damn points when you have the opportunity to do so. And that's all I would say. I need to see a more mature game plan out of Nick Sirianni next week.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else but that. You know, we got to see better play calling. And, you know, again, what Evan mentioned, you don't have to impress us, man. You're our coach. You know what I mean? The city's behind you 100%. Just go in there and play your game. Get the team to be on the same page and worry about just getting the what we want are W's. What we want is another, strive to get in that trophy again. So that's what you guys need to focus on. Don't worry about getting, our love, getting us all hyped up. And we're there. We're already at that point. We could go ahead and handle that shit ourselves. You know what I mean? Just come to a couple more 4th and John tailgates. We'll take care of that part. You know, just focus on, getting us those W's. And I think that's what he definitely needs to go ahead and focus this week. All right. Forget about yesterday. It's done and over with. Go back to the drawing board. Realize the mistakes that are made. Get that practice going this week. Get a game plan going because we need you guys to go into Dallas and bust that ass. I mean, Sirianni, you got to understand this right here is an important game for us. This is a rivalry game. We can't stand Dallas. All right. This is what you signed up for. So go at it. Go there on Monday. Beat that ass. And the rest is, right behind is put behind us. Don't even worry about that shit.
Mm-hmm. I think, in any coach's time with the Eagles, they will let you know. Every alum, former player will tell you, or coach or staff member will tell you how important, or Jeffrey Lurie will make mention how important it is to beat Dallas. This is your heated rival. It's a huge week. It's also a momentum shift that where you beat your huge rival, it can propel you to do great things in the season and build off that energy. I think it's important. I think it's very important for this locker room as a whole to come together. Like, they talked about these moments happening, these moments of adversity. And now here they are faced with it. And they're looking at younger guys to step up in key positions. And here we are. I mean, and Jalen, hitting his presser, he really just, he looked, did he look a little deflated? I think he wanted to win for the veterans, after, mm-hmm. after they lost. And I felt like he said, he's like, we had a lot of opportunities that we did not capitalize on, and being consistent with their execution. And that's really going to be key, the play calling, but also the execution. Cause execution is everything. We saw amazing execution last week. This week it's been was up and down and all over the place. It's got to be key for next week.
Absolutely.
Tim says play to the player's strengths is what he would take. Elena says you got to take the confidence with you to Arlington. This is true. We'll see. We'll see. Are you on a scale of confidence level going into Dallas week? Where are you guys at from scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, coming off this game and the weak game plan that we had, I can't give him a 10. So I'll give him a 9.99999.
Well, that's pretty confident.
It's pretty confident, but it's not a 10.
It's pretty confident.
I'm at a 9, man. I'm very confident. I think they're gonna go in there again. They're gonna go ahead and fix these, make some corrections off the mistakes they made yesterday. Brandon went down, so that's gonna put some imp in their fight for that, that game on Monday. Like, so, they're gonna go ahead and play their hearts out for Brandon. Jalen Hurts' hometown. You know,
he's actually from H-Town. Close enough. Home state.
Close enough. Okay.
Texas. I mean,
home state. I don't even know how close they are.
Listen,
he's going to, I think he's going to show out. You know what I mean? He's going to show his shit. He's going to really let loose. The kid is slinging the ball very well, man. They put a good game plan together. I'm confident they're going to pull out that W in Dallas, Texas.
Now, Adam says, got to bring Prescott down to make him uncomfortable. Yes. I truly believe that. Morris says she's at an 8. Probably will change at 8:30 to a 10. I'm gonna agree. I'm at an 8 right now. You know, I'm still confident, but it's just like it's more of a show me. Like you could say you could talk to me till your face in the blue, but right now it's about showing me. Trey is excited about a Kerrigan Josh Sweat combo, another guy who got paid. We'll see. What else? I mean, I think we're closing out. Any last words? We'll start with you, Prime.
Definitely want to give a shout out again to everybody that joined us at the 4th and John tailgate yesterday. Things wouldn't have been possible without you guys being there. All right. I want to give AJ. I see that you said it was her. She said it was her birthday this upcoming week. So you know, happy birthday to you, AJ.
Tomorrow.
And
happy birthday, AJ.
Last but not least, definitely want to give a shout out to the West Side crew that ended up coming for that San Fran game. Danny, Mark, Tim, the families, the got to see the twin girls. They're so cute. God bless them, man. They were like ecstatic, man. They had a great time, and I felt like that was a big W on our end because that's what it was all about, you know, have given them a reason, you know, to keep talking about 4th and John on their way home. I mean, when they touched down, they just kept on thanking me, like sending me messages to thank us for the great time, for the hospitality we showed them. So you know what I mean, so they definitely had a good time, and you know, I definitely appreciate the fact that they came in, you know, enjoyed themselves with us. Then, you know, until the next podcast, when we actually go ahead and touch upon Cowboys, it's fuck Cowboys, man. It's Dallas week. You know, let's go Birds.
I got a lot of similar things as Lucky. I just want to again thank everybody that came out to the tailgate. Thank you to Conchie. Thank you to Bud Light. Thank you to Sal's Pizza, who helped me get some cheesesteaks that everybody was having as well. It was all about those cool moments yesterday at the tailgate for me. I ran into a bunch of people. It was a group of four, and they came out from San Diego, and we were messaging earlier in the week, and she was asking if it was okay to come to the tailgate. These tailgates, for anyone who hasn't heard already, we welcome anybody and everybody. We want as many people down there as we can. We just want to throw a giant party with the Eagles fans that all, you know, are like-minded. And it was really cool to talk to them. They had a great time, and they made mention to me at the very end that they're going to make it a point to make it to from San Diego to at least one of these tailgates every year. And just to hear things like that, know that we're doing the right thing, that we're out here throwing a good party. It's great to hear, and I'm thankful for everybody that makes it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I actually spoke with that group of two couples, and they were just like, you know, thank God we researched and we found you guys, because like they're like they had an amazing time, and they're like you said, they're gonna make it out every year. Just wanted to thank everyone for just showing up. I got to meet Maura first time. Shout out to you.
The McCabes.
We got to meet moms as well for a tailgate. DJ Lowski, he definitely killed it. I think Evan, shout out to Evan.
Hey,
shout out to the grill, man.
Shout out to both of you guys, man.
There's a big issue here because now you did it so well that I'm going to expect greatness from the grill.
I'm excited to do it again next tailgate, man.
I didn't want to lock you into
Gail. You know me as a person. You know I love that shit.
Okay. Say no more.
With that being said, let me be the one to tell you guys, stay off his grill. Do not touch another man's grill. All right.
Thank you.
Understand that.
Thank
what you. What if I pay for the real grill? Can I touch it?
Huh? Well, you could. I mean, that's different. You paid for it.
When you make the cheesesteak, I'm like, yo, make me a New York steak, just one for me on the side, all right? But overall, man, I just want to. It's definitely going to be F Dallas vibes. I really feel like we're going to see. We're going to see what this team is made of. But until then, we will see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. Yeah, feel that?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.